Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a lot going on, a lot on the table. The Valero Texas Open is on the plate for the PGA Tour as everybody's kind of finishing things off, if you will, or with their fingers crossed. And if their hopes are to get to the Masters, here's your chance. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Our good friend Paul Stankowski with the PGA Tour Champions will be joining us here shortly to tell us about his recent success and how well he's been playing, and also talk about a few of the different rule changes that have come into focus and got a lot of people thinking about what's next on the PGA Tour and other tours as well. So a lot of stuff to get into, and join us now. In our Nashville studios is Frank Bassett. Frank, first and foremost, all the thoughts and prayers with people in Nashville there for all the terrible stuff that happened at that school shooting earlier this week. So a tough place to be right now in Nashville. I imagine it's a pretty sad place, huh?
Yeah, it really is. We knew a lot of people there because we live very close to that place. So
yeah,
it's horrible. You, of course, you are involved in it too because of what your wife does. So.
Yeah, she knows a lot of people there.
She knows the people at Harpeth Hall and Covenant School, yeah. and we know people there and have been to that church. So it's really sad. Our thoughts and prayers really go out. And, you know, I'm not going to get political. Do something, folks. Let's figure this out.
I'd like to see something, right? I mean, just, yeah, tired of it. The school thing is just so tough, too, right? Kids and all that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's horrible.
Depress everybody with that. But anyway, so hopefully, they'll recover from that. And
we do have a positive that came from this is that we know that our police department in this city is prepared and they are darn good.
They did, from what I saw, they did a great job and I think learned a lot from the last situation we saw. And it was kind of unbelievably brave. I mean, I don't know how those guys do that, how you walk into a building like that.
From initial 911 call to taking out the perpetrator, 14 minutes. 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, good for them, but again, horrible that they'd even have to be in that situation. Now, saying that, Frank, what about, and we're going to talk to Paul Stankowski here in a second, but the ball change situation, which we're talking about the proposed change regress it and let's go backwards, if you will, and all that. Just your thoughts on that. What are you thinking right now?
Well, I don't know. I've got some gutta perches. Maybe I can use those. I don't know.
I think that feather ball.
I can't wait to hear Paul's take on this. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous. What are you going to do? Yeah. The baseball is going further now too, isn't it?
Seriously.
Well, let's change the baseball. Well, the basketball.
Let's lower the rim. Lower the rim. It's too high for some people. It needs to be taller. So, and the other thing too is, and Paul will be here in a second. If we have Art Selinger on, he would be the first to say. We've talked to him about this a number of times. He said, there's a lot of ways to stop these guys from hitting the ball 380 yards. And you raise the rough, you shorten the grass, raise the grass in the fairways. Don't let it run out the 90 yards. We saw that in Austin, right? How many guys would hit a ball and it would roll like they're on an airport runway? Just keep going. Well, that's why it's 380. It's not because the ball has to go 380. It's because the course conditions can be changed, and you can water more. You can do a lot of things. So having said that, that sets a table for our good friend Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour Champions, fresh off of a third-place finish at the Gallery Classic in Mission Hills, California. Applause, please, for Paul Stankowski. Stanky, how you doing?
You're the man.
Hey, guys. Good. Hey, so I got a question, though.
Yeah.
So 349 yards in the air by Rory. What are they going to, like,
thick in
make
the air?
Air more dense or something?
You know what? If you can do it, though, they should be able to get away with that one, right? If you can hit it 350
impressive.
In the air.
Dustin Johnson take out a drone when they were filming, or maybe it was Jordan. Jordan took out a drone when they were filming the Titleist commercial.
I think that's every guy's dream who is filming anything that there's a drone in the air. We're trying to hit ball pickers. We're trying to hit whatever we can on the range. The drone is like the ultimate prize, right?
It is.
Yeah, take it down.
And I think every company doing drone footage should use their cheap drone and say, I need you guys to hit this thing because it's a cool shot.
Just don't hit the camera. Just hit the drone itself.
Just kill the drone. The shot that you take the drone out, make it the cheap drone and the cheap camera. It's still going to look good.
Yeah.
But hey, by the way, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, okay, I'm so excited. I'm excited to talk about this ball and length and stuff.
And we'll get to that. Hang on. We're going to get to that. But, Frank, I want to make sure you and everybody else is aware. You probably already are if you look at the stats. Mr. Charles Schwab Cup himself, Stanky, nice, as I said, third place finished you and Retief Goosen at the Gallery Classic in Mission Hills, California, out in California, and you love playing in your home state. Moved Paul Stankowski to number 12, Frank, number 12 on the FedEx Cup standings right now and doing very well after only four events. You got to be thrilled.
That's fabulous.
Are going so well for you now. When we talked to you a few years ago, you're getting to 50 and you're like, I don't know how it's going to work, what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And now, obviously, better and better. And you had a great tournament at the Gallery.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, it is funny that to think back in the 2019, a lot of unknowns, guys, you know, and I didn't know how competitive I could be. Remember, I took all that time off. I quit playing the tour in August 1 of 2013 and started running my belt company and did very little golf. So when I was on my way back, I mean, I knew that I could play golf. I just didn't know what level. You know, going out and playing bridal with the boys is way different than playing, you know, a tour event with the best over 50 guys in the world. So I didn't know. And I've been really encouraged that I have been competitive and you know, I've had a few chances to win now and it's, I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. It definitely makes the grind of the last few years and that much more worth it. Cause it has been a grind. And as you know, the older we get, the harder it is to practice every day. But I feel if I don't practice every day, I get stiffer. So I feel like I'm swinging the golf club 24/7 so it doesn't seize up on me. And it's been a blast.
The finish you had, give us just a rundown on, and you were all chasing David Toms, and it was you and Retief and, trying to think, was it Elker also up there? Did you have a feeling in the back nine? I mean, you're looking at the scoreboard. Give us a little bit of the sense of how close you thought you were coming or what the great, but also intense pressure that you're used to back when you're playing on the tour, when you think maybe it's in reach, I could win a trophy.
You know, I started the day so far back. I was like in 20th place or something like that. And I don't even recall. I might've been five shots back. So, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, if I can go out and shoot a really low round, like in 2001, I shot 63 on Sunday to finish second behind Joe Durant. And you know, something like that, you know, 9 under par, you know, hey, who knows, right? So, but that's it. You know, it's just you're thinking, let's go low. You come out of the gate, you put the pedal to the metal, and you see if you can get some traction. And you know, I just played real steady all day. I had birdie putts on every hole, and you know, made three of them on the front of no length whatsoever. Just, you know, basically tap ins and then come the back nine, same thing. So I had a chip on 18. I don't watch the scoreboard a whole lot, especially if you're that far back. And the last few holes, I you know, had one eye. I'd peek out there and I saw that, you know, 11 under was leading and then it was 12. And so I'm coming up 18. I know, I'm like, well, if I can make an eagle here, who knows, right? You know, at the time, right. I think David might've been 12 under. So I had, earlier in the week, I was not in the field until about an hour and a half before the tee time on Friday, because Mark O'Meara pulled out. And I ended up getting the last spot in the field. But in my preparation, I went out before the pro-ams, both pro-ams in the morning at 6:45 on Wednesday and Thursday to go play nine holes and really get a good look at the golf course with nobody bugging me. Just me and my caddy. You know, we got the idea that 18, I'm probably not going for the green. It's not a tiny target, but it slopes off in every direction. And if you hit a little hot low one, that lands middle of the green, it's going over the green in the water. So the target actually is pretty small on 18. And so I thought, I'm just going to lay up every day. Well, I get to 18 and on Sunday, and I hit a good tee shot down there, and I've got 205 front or something, and 230 hole maybe. So I got a new hybrid that week, and I'd only hit it into a couple par fives where I was trying to chase something up there. So I really didn't even know how far I carried it yet. I hadn't got on my launch monitor. So I knew it was going to be somewhere in that 210 to 220 range in the air. And so I thought, well, this is an opportunity to hit it. So I hit it and overcut it just a smidge and got lucky. The ball landed just short right on the fringe and trickled and stopped about a foot from going in Poppy's pond to the right of 18 green. And anyway, I got this very simple 40-foot pitch, you know, uphill, and I hit an amazing shot. I'm thinking, if I make this, who knows, right? And so right. I had a similar feeling that I had in at Pebble last year when I had a bunker shot on 18. If I make it, I get in a playoff. So I thought, we'll see. And I hit a great pitch, and it just curled over the right edge. I'm building toward my ultimate goal, guys, is to finish in the top 36. Right, that makes it to the Schwab Cup championship, get you fully exempt the next year, and that's my goal. I'd love to win, and I'm getting closer, so I feel like I have the ability to win if everything works well, especially the putter. And it sure is fun, you know. Like I say, it's been a grind, but I know my window window of opportunity is pretty small, so I'm going to make the most of it. And right now, I'm doing it.
Well, you certainly are. Congratulations on a great finish, man. It was we're so happy for you. It's unbelievable. So,
because we know that we get a cut of everything that you do every time we have you on, Paul. You send us a check, and that's really, really nice. So we appreciate that.
Yeah. I just want some pointers and lessons from Paul when I come out to Dallas for one of the tournaments in the next month or so.
Sure, he's got plenty of time for that. Sure.
Aim small, Frank. Aim
small. I got all the pointers you want. Here they are.
I think aim's my problem. Alignment, grip, aim, stance, all that, you know.
All right, well, let's talk about the ball situation, the golf ball situation, which has become a...
Here we go.
It's a major topic. I mean, there was a quote from Jordan Spieth saying, if indeed this proposal for the rollback of the golf ball at certain events and in whatever the parameters are.
Did you hear him say that?
There's a 90% chance I would go to the LIV Tour.
Did you hear him say that? Because I went back to the interview where he supposedly said it, and I couldn't find it.
I read it, and it had quotes saying this is what he said. I kind of trust, and it was, I believe, ESPN or some website that was, legit. So that being the case, he's like, he's obviously way against it. Rory on the other side, who I'm liking less and less every time he opens his mouth. But Rory says, I think it's fine. No big deal and whatever. But
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just ridiculous. So,
Paul, what do you think?
I got a lot of thoughts, and I see pretty much every angle on it. I agree with the fact that it's ridiculous. I agree with the fact that I think it's necessary. I'm trying to be objective in this thing, and to be 100% honest, I haven't paid too much attention because it's not going to come into effect until 26. That's three more years. Heck, I'm going to be a lot older and maybe done playing. So
you'll be like 3 years older.
I'll be dead.
Here's the thing. Like, we're making all these changes in golf. You know, back in 2010, we changed the grooves on the wedges, right? Yeah. And because the ball spun too much. Well, what happened that very first week? Somebody shot 59, and then somebody shot 60. Literally, I think the week the rule change came into effect, or within 2 weeks, and it was on soft golf courses where you don't want to spin the ball, so it actually backfired and helped the players having wedges that didn't spin as much. Which is pretty funny. We're making changes to the font size in yardage books. You know, the grid sizes in our tour yardage books, and the size of the arrows, and to the where that us old guys we need readers to even read our stinking yardage book.
Magnifying glass.
It's ridiculous. So, I look at the changes that the USGA has made, or even PGA Tour. I guess we're going along with the USGA, but and some of them are very strange, right? And The response to Ted Scott when he worked for Bubba, having a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with a ginormous green drawn on it with arrows and stuff. And he's pulling this thing out of his bib. And so people are like, this is ridiculous. It's gone too far. Look at this. Okay. I couldn't give a rip what information the players have. Time them. And if they go a second over, dock them. Like, that's it, right? So, I mean, the one thing that we don't do to speed up play is actually time players or fine players. Like, fines are very, very minimal if there are any. And so
they get,
like,
warnings, but very seldom.
The warning, and as soon as they get a warning, they play fast. I'm telling you, Flava Flav shot clock that every scorekeeper needs to have, big old shot clock with an annoying buzzer. And if you
Flava
go over,
Flav walking with every group.
It stays on until you hit the shot. Like, that would be awesome.
Well, the clock's going right in baseball, isn't it, Paul? I mean, we see the clock for the pitch count. I mean,
here we go. They talked about it today.
That's working for those guys. You know, games are speeding up.
Yeah. It's going to speed up baseball. So here's my take on the ball thing. Okay. Guys are hitting it a lot farther now. No joke. I mean, I hit it. I was a top 30 guy in my early years, 94, 95 on tour, and hitting it about 265. Okay, that was my driving average, something like that. You guys could probably look it up, but I was in the top 30-ish, and 285 or something was leading, right?
That was like a Bellotta 100, right, in those days?
It was a Bellotta, who knows what kind of ball. It was a softball. They were smaller-headed drivers. They were, 44 inches maybe max, whatever the case is. Yeah. But the fact is now, what's the biggest change in golf over the last 25 years?
Drivers.
I think the humans.
Oh,
the
athleticism,
workouts, athleticism. They're swinging faster. They're trying to swing faster. Then you go, the equipment allows us to swing faster. The shafts are stronger. They're like, all the technology, everything is so much better now. And so if we continue down this path, right? Golf balls, they're saying golf balls might respond to faster club head speeds. I mean, we get the fact that, like, a downhill putt down grain is going to be faster than an uphill putt into the grain. That's a fact, right? But they're saying that the faster you swing a club and hit a golf ball, maybe the more aerodynamic or the more dynamic the ball, like it's expounded, the faster you get it, whatever the case. I don't even know. That's science, whatever. Thomas Dolby sang about it once. But my whole thought is this.
I digress.
If you take, how about this? This is novel, and this will cost the USGA, the PGA, club companies. It's going to cost. It's going to be cost paint. Okay, if you take the, if you want to allow guys to hit as far as they want, but now the gallery ropes are out of play. Imagine that, right? You have gallery ropes on every hole, and they go all the way down the fairway. And if you hit it in the gallery, how about that's out of bounds?
Okay. Yeah. Ooh.
Does that change things?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're in the, it's like a foul ball in baseball. What happens? Well, you hit a foul ball. Okay. It doesn't count. You got to do it again. Well, in this case it does count and it costs you. Okay. So to me, I'm like, let's just make the gallery ropes out of play.
Out of bounds.
And whether you take a penalty and drop it, two club lengths inside the gallery rope, or you literally have to re-tee, whatever, make that a penalty. Now all of a sudden you're going to get a guy that hits at 350. Well, we know what happens if you hit 350 2 degrees offline, or 3 degrees. I don't even know the memory. That's science. The farther you hit it, the more it's going away from your target, right? From the center of your target. So if you want to hit at 350 and you hit it in the crowd, well, it's going to cost you. That would instantly bring back the ball, right? I mean, the ball's still going to go as far, but guys may not hit driver everywhere.
And by the way, Frank, that makes me it makes me think of the players, your favorite tournament, on 18. Even Paul Azinger made a comment when they were coming down at 18, and the leaders, he said, in my day, if you had a lead or you're in the, you don't even think about taking driver out on 18. And
no,
he said, nowadays, everybody takes a driver out. Nobody's taking a 2-iron, 3-iron, a little 5-wood or whatever to get in the fairway. Because the mindset, as Paul's saying, is so different that there's not really a penalty. And how many guys did we see over and over go into those trees off to the right?
Well, that's
at an 18. They don't seem to care. They find a way to get to the green, near the green. There's not a whole lot of fairway there.
That's not very wide at all. It's water to the left, and it's that huge tree that's right there, and the other trees all the way down the right side.
Yeah.
And they can't hit it far enough with a driver. I mean, Paul, you can speak to this, but you can't hit the ball far enough with a driver on 18 at TPC Sawgrass to get it past all that junk.
Right.
I mean, it's just too far.
But nobody plays a safe game. They just don't play. And if Paul's point is, and if like Art Sellinger's brought up, take away the jet stream for all these guys to be hitting down these runway fairways that are rock hard, that will let the ball run. Change some of that, which you don't have to change the ball. Here's another point
Wait a minute. Before you do that point, Paul had a point in pre-show when we were talking, when he said, you know, what are you going to do with Rory McIlroy, who hits the ball at how many yards, Paul, in the air?
That was that shot he hit on 18 at 360? In the match play. He flew it on the green.
350?
349 in the air.
Yeah.
Bryce Verplank is a long drive guy, right? Scott Verplank's nephew. I played with him in a scramble, charity scramble one time, and he flew it 349 onto a green. It blew my mind. And I'm thinking, how on earth can that guy? And then Rory, and Bryce is 6'4", 240, and Rory's 5'1", 100. I mean, he's a little guy, 5'9". Okay, he's 5'9". He's obviously super fit, strong. The guy's a beast, but he's shorter in stature, and I don't know how he does it.
And he did it with a 44 driver.
Balanced. Yeah. It's crazy.
Wasn't his driver 44 inches or 45 inches?
But that's still freakishly rare. That's not a norm.
These guys are but it's not freakishly rare anymore, guys. I mean, this is a common theme. All these young players, they hit it far. Like all these guys on the Corn Ferry Tour, you're peppering high school golf courses right now. There's kids out there that are flying it that far, and it's efficient. I don't know. I don't get it.
How are they going to hold up, Paul? How's their body going to hold up like that?
I don't know. Rory's done okay, right? He hadn't.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, he's had his injuries. And Bryson,
everybody.
Bryson's backed off. Bryson's lost weight. Remember, we had Art on a couple weeks ago, Frank, and he said Bryson has dropped back about 25 pounds. He stopped swinging. His body was being torn up.
I talked to his mother in Miami, and she was filling me in on all the aches and pains he had by trying to get longer.
There's a price that comes with doing that. So, yes, it's still possible, but the price comes at it. The point I was going to make when I was playing down at Driftwood, had a golf outing outside of Austin. Have you played there yet, Paul? Driftwood? It's a Discovery Land.
I'm not rich enough to play there.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, and Tim gets to play all this. Is Tim a millionaire? Your wife's got a great job.
A guy brings up a really good point, and it's some media guy. I don't remember who. And he says, okay, here's how you prevent that. If you don't like this golf ball rule coming into effect, is the manufacturers all say to the USGA, R&A, you guys pay for all of the testing that you're going to require us to do to find out. You pay for it all. Because we're not going to do it. And the reason we're not is because pros don't pay for golf balls if we're trying to sell golf balls, which we are. And the amateurs sure as heck aren't going to buy a golf ball that goes shorter. All they want is more distance.
And of course,
they can't hit it 350. Yeah. So where's that going to leave the USGA and the R&A? You guys do it all and give us the dimensions and we'll make the balls, but nobody's going to buy that golf ball. I'm telling you right now, because he made it. I mean, obviously, Paul, you know this. We all know. The pros don't buy balls. You know, you get dozens of them sent to you whenever you have a tournament. Exactly. So who are you making that shorter golf ball for that's going to actually sell? Nobody. There's no market for it.
No, you're right, guys. It is amazing. This is it's a costly endeavor, what they're doing. Because there again, it's not only the golf ball. So they say the golf ball comes back and it turns out to be a low trajectory, old school 384 with a marshmallow on the inside. Okay, whatever.
And good idea.
Well, now the current drivers, the current equipment may not be good for that ball. So then they're going to have to match up again. Yeah. Here's the thing. This is another thing that's crazy about technology. And this is where I think when early in my career, 94 is my rookie year. If I'm going to go test a driver, I took a bunch of balls on the golf course with my caddy or at home in a cart. And I would number them, and I'd put different numbers on them, and I'd send them off the tee, choosh, choosh, choosh. And I'm like, okay, that was good. Okay, I get up there, and I look at, okay, where all the ones go? Where are the twos at? Where are the three? Okay, that number ones, those went farther than the other ones. Okay, I'm going to play that driver.
Yeah.
Like, that was the technology, right? Now we have launch monitors, and we have the ability to pair shafts and heads and get them all geared up perfectly to where your launch and spin characteristics are proper and at this ball speed. It's there's a science to it, right? And so guys are now able to dial in their tools to optimize early in the day. There, you know, I haven't played Titleist golf ball since 1994, I think, or 95. The last Titleist ball I played was a professional. But I remember back in high school, there was a low trage and a high trage. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was two balls and that were, you know, Velatas. There might have been the DT and whatever, but the low trage and high trage, and you hit whatever one you thought was best. And it was, sometimes it was a crapshoot. And I used to be a long hitter. Not, you know, the longest, but I was a fairly long hitter, well above average. And I think what it was is that I just had my equipment was matched perfectly by accident, right? And I was optimized because nowadays with all this technology, I hit the ball a lot shorter than I did back in the late 90s, like considerably with optimized equipment. So, but the fact is guys are hitting it farther now, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But if you want to bring back, right, some of the shorter golf courses into a rotation, like I say, the simplest thing, we have stakes. Like, they stake every single golf course in a tour event, right, from the tee box all the way to the green. And you can say, hey, if you hit it into the crowd, it's a penalty. Yep. That changes things. That definitely, the pucker factor on a tee ball going down the first hole at Colonial,
fading
if
to the right,
you're trying to hit driver, and you can't block it into the crowd anymore. Now all of a sudden you're going, okay, what do we do? You know, Scott Fawcett, I don't know, what do you do? But, you know, the whole concept of you know, these grids, and if it's 60, I don't even know his system. I know it's helping people, that's great. But, you know, it changes things because now you're going, oh, we got 50 yards, there's OB right, there's OB left. That's double penalty. What are we going to do here? Right?
And Paul, you brought it up that the pros play with bumpers. I mean, there's a bumper system almost like kids bowling. The ball won't go into the groove because there's fans on the sides. We saw it with Jordan a few tournaments ago where he kept him in the game, kept him. He made the cut because ricochets off a fan back into the fairway. You've got bumpers behind every green that you can fly it. You saw it in Austin. What was that, 13th hole? You can just ram it into that hospitality tent over the green and bounce it back on it. So nobody really plays with that except for the pros. So if you take away some of those bumpers, as you're saying, the I can blast it anywhere I want, that changes the mindset.
Well, here's the thing too. I'd love to see the last 25 years, okay, from Tiger's rookie year until, you know, whatever, 10 years ago. You look, if we go back and track every single drive that Tiger Woods and Fred Funk hit, okay, over the last 20 years, and document the lie, okay? Document the lie. Fred Funk, 90% of the time, had a horrific lie, and Tiger had a perfect lie. Why? That's a question. I mean, you answer.
Gotcha, yeah. I'm thinking.
Here's why. Because Fred Funk, when he misses the fairway, he's a foot. No, Fred Funk is. Well, yes, Fred Funk hits it a foot in the rough because he drives the ball really straight. Yep. And when he misses it, it goes just in the rough. But what happens between the edge of the fairway where the rough starts and the gallery ropes? Nobody's walking there. The rough is thick, and your ball sits down. You hit it into the crowd. What happens?
Yeah, matted grass. It's matted down.
You're on a matted down, trampled down area. And heck, the ball rolls 30 yards further as well because it's dead and trampled down versus the ball that barely goes the rough. So there's been a penalty for straight hitters forever, short straight hitters. More of a penalty because of where their ball finishes. Now, maybe they don't have tree trouble if a foot in a rough, but you give a guy who can work a golf ball and a perfect lie and he's got some tree trouble, he's going to find a way to get around it. But you get your ball in the rough and it's sitting down in some rough when we ever have rough. It's, you know, then it's a different deal. So it's like there's always like the short hitter has a disadvantage anyway, if you think about it, just based off of the lie. So now if the crowd is out of bounds, out of play, and then you have to drop it, maybe you drop it in bounds, two club lengths. Well, now you're dropping it in the rough. So not only do you pay for one, now you got a crappy lie again. I don't know. To me, that's a cheap solve. You don't have to change the ball. Equipment companies don't have to do a thing. And if Joe Blow at the golf course wants to hit a ball that goes super far. I used to play Pinnacle. I loved it because it went farther than a ball. But if you want that, you can hit it. And who cares if at Bridalwood, if you hit it 350 yards and you're just playing with your friends, it doesn't matter. Right. But in a tournament, I'm with you. Like, we do have, I remember the 18th hole at Bermuda Dunes way back in the day at Palm Springs. Over the green was a grandstand. And if you blow it into the crowd, you take a drop, you're 12 feet off the green.
Simple exactly. pitch downhill.
Those are the kind of things there that I think it's a free fix. We talk about growing rough or, you know, having softer fairways or like there again, that's, I think the golf courses look amazing. And I thought the match play, the golf course, you know, the fairways were so pure and they're fast and they're tight. And it's tough to hit off of a tight lie sometimes, guys,
yes,
right?
Downhill it is
lie,
for me.
Tight, it's a little tougher. Sure. But if you had flyer lies in the fairway, that'd be tough too. But I just think the cheap fix, let's throw some penalty markers up there. Let's put some boundary sure. stakes. And you already have them because every hole does. It won't cost a dime.
Yeah.
Won't cost
yeah.
a dime.
Well, I mean, I think my guess would be, and I think it's a good idea, I think my guess would be players would complain because it's going to change how their mindset is, which is right now, even from the time you're 10 years old, let's just blast the hell out of the golf ball. Let's just kill it, and we'll go find it, and we'll hit it again. It changes
yeah,
that mindset.
You know what? Do they complain at the U.S. Open? I mean, the U.S. Open, well, they do. Sorry, take
yeah,
that back. That's a bad
yeah,
question.
Gonna,
but it's not
as far as
fairways.
I can tell, they do.
It's,
yeah.
not, it's not because of the fairways or that was a horrible.
That was bad.
There's not been a U.S. Open on the planet that nobody's
not like a politician. Well, let me take that back.
It's typically a greens thing, guys. That's typically yeah. a greens thing that they let the greens, they get them too firm, too fast, whatever.
But yeah. there's a way to, that's the point, though. There's a way to control the scoring, if you will. And in that case, yeah, the greens are such a so that you're not going to, you'll get three putts, you're not going to make it. You can do the same thing with, you can change the agronomy of a golf course and the setup, even to your point, that you don't have to go to the technology and say, okay, how are we going to make the shafts? Because no shaft, golf ball or club manufacturer, and we know who the top five or six are, they don't want to step backwards and go, okay, because there's no market for that product. For them to be motivated to do it, because USGA says, sure. "Oh, by the way, we're only going to do it for certain." Oh, really? Is that how it's going to work? Just certain tournaments? Are you going to roll back the ball the rest of the time? You get it? Who cares? It's going to be so complicated, so stupid. And in essence, the difference being, okay, they're hitting a ball 350 now. They're going to hit it. What's it? 5%? They're saying, I think, Frank. I don't. What's 5% of 350? It's going to go 336.
Class.
You know, I mean, it's going to. I went to Ole Miss.
I went to Ole Miss.
It's not like it's going to go 260. You know,
17 yards
off. I mean, we're talking nothing.
Yeah, 333 instead of 350. Okay, yeah. Why are we doing that?
I'm telling you guys, the most common sense thing to do is to make it a penalty to hit it in the crowd. That's it. I mean, it's simple. Now, I'm sure our listeners are probably going to criticize me for saying that, but I'm like, I think that's the simplest thing. It's free. It doesn't cost a dime. It's, you know, like, and if you hit somebody, it should cost you money too, maybe. I don't know. Pay their doctor.
Well, yeah.
No, I take that back. I've
Autograph
hit plenty
glove.
Of people.
Just don't make it stroke and distance then.
No, it could just be you just drop
well,
it.
Well, they've already kind of gone that way, haven't they, Frank, where it's just going to be distance? I mean, the out of bounds is, I think, already made, if not a permanent change, they've been making that change. I think for all amateurs, it's already, I think, in effect that
our club
it's not
did,
distance
yeah.
anymore. It's just, you just get a stroke.
Yeah.
Well, ours, we went so far as because our rough at Bluegrass is just the thick. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's U.S. Open rough. So if we go OB, we drop in one club length into the fairway at that point. So we don't have so we don't totally get ripped off on the whole thing.
And the other thing, and it's a whole other show, Paul, but at some point, and it happened, I think, just last week again, where Azinger mentioned after one of the leaders hits a great shot, and sure enough, it ends up middle of the fairway in a divot. Now, he hit a good shot out of it, but it's like, okay, it's sandy, it's not sandy. How you? I'm like, why do you get penalized for hitting a drive in the fairway and somebody else fixes a divot? Just move it 2 inches out of the divot. But you don't have to pay the penalty. That to me is more realistic than why you're worrying about the distance of a golf ball.
Yeah, so. there's a lot of little rules. The lift clean in place rule, I think, should be a lift clean and drop rule. When you're playing lift clean in place because of, casual water or, they don't play it on the PGA Tour because of mud, but players don't care about a perfect lie in the fairway. They care about a clean golf ball, right? That's it. You give me I could hit out of a divot with a clean ball, but you give me a mud ball out of the fairway. No, like you don't, you got to get lucky. Right. And that's where a tremendous amount of luck. If you're anyway, But doing a lift, clean, and drop, then you're not have you don't get to put the ball perfectly down, or if you're a foot off the green, you don't get to line the little, you know, you just lift, clean, and drop. Now that our drops are from a knee from knee height, you're not going to get a ball that's going to plug, you know, if it's really wet. So I just think there, I mean, there's a lot of little rules that I think they can simplify to make it simple. But anyway, that's my take. I got my popcorn ready, boys, to see what they're going to do. And I personally, the guys who are complaining about it, I don't know. I mean, what's the purpose? Like, it just, it is, it's still golf, and Rory's still going to hit it farther than me. You know, it's,
but he doesn't win every tournament, does he? He doesn't win every tournament.
No,
he's very good.
Exactly.
But because he hits it further, it doesn't mean he wins.
So on my tour, the tour I get to play occasionally is Padraig hits the ball farther than everybody by a lot, right? Well, he doesn't win every week either. We you know, chicks do dig the long ball, guys. It is the way it is. and when you hit it far,
except daily,
you know, there are those times that it's going to
now they like John too.
You know, having wedges into par fives and where us or guys like me are hitting four irons, but it is what it is. You still, it's a putting game. And we'll see.
Did anybody in the room here ever hit the Molitor ball? Remember that golf ball?
Sure, I used to love the Molitor.
I love that ball. It flew forever.
Really?
It came in a three-sided box, black box. And I think Spalding, didn't Spalding make those, the Molitors?
I don't know. I don't remember ever buying the Molitor, but I used to find them in the lakes, and I loved it. That was a good ball.
Well, that tells you something right there, doesn't it? They all ended up in a lake somewhere.
Well, they were expensive as
heck. Hey, I grew up on a nine-hole military golf course, so you played the nines twice, and the 18th hole, you had to hit it over a creek. And so my next-door neighbor, Dana Dorman, who played the LPGA Tour forever, she won a couple times. She's the San Jose State girls golf coach now. But Dana and I used to wade in that lake in the muck, like the 10 inches of muck, and walking through there, finding them with our feet. And it was disgusting. But we found some good cherry Molitors, and that was the fastest ball I've ever played.
And the old Velada, I mean, especially I had, you know, pink beryllium square grooves. Yeah. And you
get four holes out of it.
Because you cut it up to, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you topped one of them, you took the cover off the ball in those days.
Thank you. We appreciate your time. I know you got to probably go hit some balls. Get ready for the Invited Celebrity Classic coming to Las Colinas in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Best of luck there. I'll see you out there. And just continued success. You've been playing extremely well, and we all know you're just a little bit away from getting your first PGA Tour Championship trophy, and we can't wait to see that. But best of luck. We'll see you again real soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Love being on.
Thanks. Take we care. Love having you, buddy. Good luck.
Thanks so much. Paul Sankowski, PGA Tour champions. And good insight, too.
He's a smart guy.
He's a common sense guy. Yeah. That's what I like about him. He's not overly analytical. Matter of fact, he's analytically challenged. Let's just say. He's like, I don't know the science. I don't know this. All I know is it makes sense if you do this. And you're like, man, it does kind of make sense.
He had a calculator with him, though. I guarantee you, he was on the phone. He wanted to know what that 15% was.
By the way, so back to the point of the bumpers and all that stuff, right? So if you're watching the Dell Match Play,
don't go there yet. Let's take a break and then come back. And let's go back to all that.
Right? Okay, that's fine. We can do that.
Yeah,
because I got to get in the golf course, Frank. I got things to do.
Me too. I've got to leave for Augusta tomorrow. I have to go down early.
We got work. We're gonna take. We'll take a very, very, very quick break. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
What's really sweeping the country right now, and it's stretching, okay? Yep, stretching, folks. New studies say that stretching is even more effective than brisk walking. All the pros stretch. We know that when we're out there on the golf course. We should, too, because the benefits of stretching, actually, if I talked about them, would take up this entire podcast, okay? So I'm not going to get into everything about it, except for the fact that it's helped me with some of my chronic pain, and not the Tim Matthews chronic pain. Never mind, we won't go there. Anyway, that's why there's Castle Flex, folks. Castle Flex was invented by a man named Dan Castle, who was struggling with herniated discs, and within a year of inventing Castle Flex, his disc problems were gone. That's pretty amazing. So what is Castle Flex? It's a patented device that allows the user to hold an easy-to-grip weighted brushed aluminum bar. Your foot goes into a specially designed foot hammock that pulls your toes, allowing your entire leg to get stretched. Very simple, very easy to use. I use it, absolutely love it. And guess who else uses it? John Rahm uses it. That's right. The world's number two golfer. Okay. Now, used to be number one, now number two, back, probably back to number one. Who knows? But he does use CastleFlex. And in fact, the Titleist Performance Institute introduced it to all their people after seeing Rahm use it. Who knows who else swears by CastleFlex? All-star Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Atlanta Braves? He used it for his ACL rehab, and he believes in CastleFlex so much, he signed on to be one of their spokespeople. Guess what? Even Martha Stewart uses CastleFlex and has posted about how it's helped her. And I can understand why. I got my CastleFlex, and let me tell you, it works, folks. It really, really works. It's helped me in my chronic pain, lower leg pain or leg pain, and lower back pain, I should say. And it's really a great product. I really want you to try it. So here's what I want you to do. You can get 10% off an order by going to CastleFlex.com and using the promo code GOLF10. That's G-O-L-F-1-0, okay? GOLF10. That's CastleFlex.com. That's right, two X's, and use promo code GOLF10 for 10% off. CastleFlex, the future of mobility. Now, that I've told you about that, and it really does work, folks, seriously. Let's get on to some of the interviews from the WGC. We'll have the runner-up, and then we'll have the winner, and I think you're going to enjoy what they have to say. So, that being said, let's roll. Hey, everybody. Green Chef, a new sponsor to Golf Talk America, is joining us, and I have to tell you, the food is phenomenal. The ease of preparation, the quality of the food, and the multiple recipes. You can choose from 30 recipes weekly. You have the option to mix and match everything in their plans, change things around from vegan one day to keto the next, and customize, even swapping protein in any meal that features chicken, beef, or salmon for USDA certified organic ground beef, USDA certified organic chicken, and wild caught, my favorite, sockeye salmon. You can also add chicken or fish to select vegan and veggie recipes. I mean, so you can swap this stuff around and make it anything you want it to be. You don't have to have a prepackaged, canned, one-size-fits-all meal. That's what's important to me. One size doesn't fit all. And with Green Chef, one size is what you're going to have because the portions are properly put together so that you're not going to overeat. But you'll be full when you finish. The recipes feature organic produce, premium proteins, sustainably sourced ingredients, and the 2023 and the food standards that they've done for 2023 are out of sight. Let me tell you, the other night I was tired. I didn't want to mess with cooking. And I said, well, I'll pull out a Green Chef meal. So I grabbed one of the meals and it was salmon, slapped it together in just a few minutes, threw it in, cooked it, sat down, ate it. It was incredible. And again, it's so easy to do that it's just ridiculous. So whether you're going for keto or vegan or you just want ease of preparation, we fully recommend Green Chef. Golf Talk America folks use Green Chef. We love it. And our friends are starting to love it too. So what I want you to do is go to greenchef.com/golfer60. That's G-O-L-F-E-R 60. And use code GOLFER60 to get this, 60% off. Plus, free shipping. So you got to do it. I'm telling you, it's the number one meal kit for eating well, and we love Green Chef. Cha-ching. Yes, sir, that's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Y'all know Shopify, it's the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling golf equipment or farm equipment, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can focus on growing your business. Packed with industry-leading tools, ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without having to learn any new skills in design or code. Shopify even lets you sell across social media marketplaces like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. To me, the most incredible thing about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you the confidence and control to take your business to that next level that we all want to get to. Enough talk about this. It's your turn to get serious about selling and try Shopify today. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So here's what you do. I want you to sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/golfamerica. Go to Shopify.com/GolfAmerica to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/GolfAmerica.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America to Matthews and Frank Bassett. Right. Hello. Before we took a break there, Frankie Frank, we're talking about the bumpering and stuff like that. We talk about the advantages the pros have. Doesn't it seem like, and I'm referring to Jordan Spieth and his, I guess, second round match play match at the Dell match play. He was flying the ball, as he does, everywhere. But doesn't it seem like, because the pros get a move from here, get away from the grandstands, oh, there's a cameraman over there, there's a popcorn stand over, there's cables, they seem to get a favorable drop lie almost every time they blast a ball somewhere. And then they have to sit there and do that, and this just drives me crazy. Drop it twice. And how many times they sit there and, okay, put the ball, okay, here, and they got the rules official guy, and he's, okay, in there, and then, okay, in there, and you drop it, and it rolls back, and you get, again, okay, drop it. I'm like, can you just say, put it right there? Can you just put it on the ground right there, hit a shot?
How do you feel
God,
about
that? I get so frustrated. That's a 10-minute procedure it is. Every it's time crazy. They got to do it.
It's crazy.
Every time to do it.
Put just the tees down, do you know, okay, now
yes.
you drop it.
I mean, yeah. they're putting a club here, and I get you have to have some rules and all that kind of stuff. Well, but it just, you got an official right there. Official says, yeah, here's where you should be able to play it. Put it right there. Instead, you got to go through the whole get griller, get the tee, get a driver, lay it down, put a tee here, put a tee on it. Oh, my God.
Scrub in for surgery. Here we go.
Seriously. You know,
I mean, geez, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
It's totally nuts.
Yeah. So, but yeah. But Paul made some good points there.
He did.
Like, you know, you narrow that out of bounds scariness.
That pucker factor goes way up.
Yes.
Right.
And suddenly you're going, okay, I do want to hit it 350. But if I hit it 350, as he said, as hard as I'm swinging and I'm 2 degrees off, it goes 30 yards right, 30 yards left. If I hit it that hard, maybe I should swing easier.
So who is that benefiting and who is that penalizing? And that's going to be the next question. Well, Roy McIlroy now will be penalized. And who will it benefit? It'll benefit the shorter hitters. Well, so they're saying, well, that's unfair.
But it'll also make you want to be Rory and hit it straighter, right? I mean, sometimes now I think your concentration can be waning, if you will, because all you have to do is blast it. So you don't have it. But if you say, okay, I still want to hit it 340 if I can, but I've got to really concentrate, like the real guys like you and I, to keep it straight as we can. Well, okay. I think they've got the ability to do that. We've seen them, Rory hit a green from 350. They have the ability to hit it long and straight, but you've got to really concentrate on it, right? And if you don't, you do get penalized for it. So I don't disagree. I just think the whole ball thing, like I said, made so much sense to me. They're like, there's no motivation for ball manufacturers to do it because USGA says, here's what we're doing. If I'm Titleist, if I'm TaylorMade or Strixon, I look at the USGA and I go, okay, go ahead. Show us what ball we're going to use.
Yeah.
Do it all. Do all your numbers. Spend your millions to do all that. And then we'll make that ball because we're only going to make 200,000 of them or whatever the number is because nobody's going to buy them. Right? Why are we going to make these and give them to the pros? Yeah, it's...
Well, it doesn't. Everybody wants to play the ball that the pros play, but they're not going to want to play the ball that the pros play if it's this rollback ball.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to do it. I'm not going to want to do it. I like the certain golf balls I like, and the end of story. I like the PXG ball. I'm playing it now.
It's like if somebody tells you, okay, here's your ball, Frank, and it's 10 yards shorter than what you're playing. Why? Who in the world is going to play that ball?
Well,
10 yards shorter. No, I want 10 yards more.
Yeah.
Right.
So I agree.
Yeah. It's kind of goofy.
It's just a bunch of bull.
Well, and we'll see.
Michael Wan took it on the chops. Michael Breed tore him up the other day on the show. So guess who called in? He was listening and he called in and said, Michael, you're wrong. And jumped all over him. That's for another show. And maybe we'll have Michael come on. I know Wan pretty well.
Yeah.
From the old LPGA Tour days. So. Yeah,
I just think it's one of those unnecessary. And every now and then, you know, what's the NFL, PGA Tour, whoever, come up with rule idea changes. And some of them are, and a lot of them are like, that's insane.
Well, like in football, the next thing you know, in cold weather, they're going to deflate the ball a little bit. In football, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's been talks.
That's like hand warmers, Tim. That's like hand warmers. You know the hot hands, those things?
Yeah.
How many golfers, professionals,
have a ball in their pocket?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's illegal. You're not supposed to do that, but it happens all the time.
The NBA, let's go back to Michael Jordan, right? That's 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He was playing. He was jumping, and he and other guys jumping so high, and the dunks and everything. There was actually consideration to raise the rim. Well, because the guys are bigger and taller. They're dunking it with ease. There's no, okay, they didn't. And I don't think you see the game drastically change. It's exciting. It's, if you like the NBA, it is what it, but it's not like, oh my God, it's so easy because it's only 10 feet. It should have, there were people literally thinking it should be an 11, a 10 and a half or 11 foot rim for the pros.
Yeah.
Really? And again, no kid wants an 11 foot rim, you know, no, when you're younger trying to learn the game, it's like, okay, why are you giving me a shorter ball? Why am I playing an 11 foot rim? I can't even get to the net, you know, when I'm 10 years old. Why am I? So sometimes I think they think something and then they come to common sense and go, okay, maybe not a good idea. Maybe they will in 3 years with this ball. And especially if they get pushback, right, from the manufacturer saying, okay, this isn't on us. We're not going to go down that road with you just because you.
I don't know. This is unresolvable.
Yeah.
It really is. So, you know, anyway, it is what it is. So. Just in passing, before we get out of here, just to let our listeners know, we will be live from Augusta all next week. Something going on there.
Really?
Not to short sheet this tournament in San Antonio, the Valero.
Yes.
But because it's a fabulous tournament. But we're gearing up. We're heading out tomorrow. Have to be down there early to do some things and get ready and prep for the shows. And we're going to play some golf, too, while we're at it down there. Some really nice places. So.
Frank, do me a favor, because I mentioned this to the guys that I was playing with the other day.
You want a shirt? No.
No.
Everybody at my club wants a shirt. I said, guys, really? We'll pay you back. Yeah.
We were talking. Yeah, sure you will. We were talking about the Augusta and all that and how beautiful and all that. And a number of the writers and different media people that I was with have been to 20 Masters or more. I mean, they're going. And how phenomenal the media center is and everything else. And it's I brought up our story about the when you and I were there. I don't know what's it been now, 10 years, 8 years. We were walking the grounds and we talked to a security guy because one of us said, you know, there's no squirrels. I mean, you ever see a squirrel? Where are the squirrels? There's trees everywhere. It's like a forest. It's the most pristine place in the world. And we went to the security guy and said, hey, how come there's no squirrels? And the guy almost like looked at us and looked both ways like he was CIA. And he goes, yeah, I don't know about that. And he turned around and walked away. And we're all like, what's that mean? Like, we're telling him. Remember? It's like we thought there's suddenly like there's snipers up in the trees or something. Like, where are the squirrels? I said, if I'm a squirrel in Georgia, I'm moving to Augusta.
What is like the squirrel's natural enemy in nature?
Bill Murray? No, that's a different. That's not a squirrel, is it? Yeah, it's a rodent. I don't know who the natural, a bird? A hawk? Who kills squirrels?
I would say that and snakes.
Snakes, maybe, yeah, okay.
I don't know. Maybe we look and see if there's any snakes in Augusta.
I mean, one of us mentioned that. We're all walking for like the next hour, and none of us even saw one squirrel. And you're like, well, how can there not be up in a tree?
Nor did we see a weed, so there.
Well, yeah, I don't see that either. So
maybe the pesticide that they put down for the weeds has a little squirrel juice in it, too.
Maybe there's something there. Yeah,
we shouldn't say that, Augusta National. We're just joking.
Two birds, one stone. I don't know.
We can't say that.
But it was funny because the security guy like walked away like, no, come back here. We're asking you a question.
Yeah, he
like,
didn't want to answer that.
I can't answer that. Your media? I can't talk to you.
Yeah, your media? Get out of here.
Well, it should be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it always is. You know, seeing all our friends, Marcus at Azalea Hospitality. You know, if you need hospitality and want to check on badges and things, check out Augusta Hospitality.
Yep.
Augusta Hospitality. Darn it. AzaleaHospitality.com.
Yeah.
AzaleaHospitality.com, I should say.
Not to be confused. So, but if you want to go to Augusta, Azalea is the place.
And guess what I'll be doing before the tournament starts? I'm going to be playing some golf, but guess what I'll be playing with?
I don't know.
Well, you do too.
Oh, which clubs you're going to be playing with?
Yeah.
PXGs?
Yeah, the new Gen 6s.
Nice.
Yeah, they're on their way. They built them yesterday. They are on their way to me, so I can't wait. I hit the new driver. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Long ball, short ball, doesn't matter. You got the right driver.
I do, man. I've got the right setup. My PXG fitter knew what he was doing both times, and he's tweaking it in for me. And the new irons, Rob, I mean, I thought, you know, the Gen 5, great, great clubs, and they are. They're fabulous golf clubs.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the 6s? Or even better, they really are. And I was kind of, you know, how's he going to do that so quick? Yeah, but I've only had my Gen 5s less than a year.
Yeah, yeah,
less than a year. And
I'll be curious when you go down there and play how well they
can't wait.
They play for you.
Can't wait. Hopefully FedEx doesn't the plane doesn't go down or the FedEx truck doesn't get hit. So
should be good. All right. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. But yeah, so tune back in next week for all the
updates,
Masters coverage you can want. We'll talk to people. We'll have. people on with Frank when he's down there, yeah. And in any of the inside, because there's going to be
some stuff.
Be the time we're going to see some live guys intermingling with the PGA Tour guys, and we're going to see what kind of drama.
And in
so
this
many
corner.
Media. Well, they're going to be there just to see if there is any. And I don't expect there to be real fireworks, but you don't ever know, do you?
So no, we'll see you don't.
If somebody gives even a sideways little glance at Sergio or some of the other guys,
or Patrick, or, yeah,
see what might happen, right?
So, well, yeah, Freddie Couples has all set the stage to have a confrontation already. So,
what did Freddie say?
Oh, he said Phil was an absolute idiot, and quote.
Good.
Yeah, I mean,
in this corner.
Yeah, exactly. Are you ready to rumble? We're here at the champions dinner.
Yeah.
Live from Augusta.
Food fight.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
What Scheffler had? Did you see the menu? Scheffler's having, I think, pretty basic. I think it's steak and
burgers and.
Yeah, and Texas food, he called it. I was like, okay, so he's got like brisket and something else. I'm like, anything in the world? You can get that any day.
Oh, for this one, you got to have spaghetti and meatballs.
Well, I'd fly in the rarest of fish from the South Pacific or something. I mean, I'd have something that. You don't get every day if you don't.
Octopus.
They said because they have no limits. I said,
what do you call two octopus?
I don't even want to go there.
Octopi.
Gotcha. Okay. I was going to say that.
I thought that was dessert. I'm out of here. I got to go.
I would have anything. Yeah. Play the music. Play the music.
I got to pack.
Right, we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Paul Stankowski for joining us. Next time he talks to us, he might be having a trophy.
Yes.
From the Invited Celebrity Classic. Be sure to check them out. Invited. Club Near You. Used to be Club Corp. Now Invited. Club Near You. And you can get privileges all over the country at invited.com. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.